It's a fan morning show. Sportsnet 590, the fan. We got an all girls hour. Yes, go girls, girl power. So many people just turned down the dial, but let's bring in our first guest, Jackie Redmond, studio host, NHL Network, NHL on TNT. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Excited to chat with you guys. I feel like it's been a while. Happy New Year.
It has been. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. All the festivals, everything. You did your first game last night with NHL and TNT. How special was that moment for you? I saw on your Instagram story, you're like, 12-year-old me wouldn't have believed this moment. What was that like for you?
Oh, my gosh. It was so cool. It was so surreal because, you know, I actually had a lot of people respond to that on Instagram and just be like, wait, you've been working in hockey for so long. And I was like, yeah, but I've never really done games. Like, I've done a lot of studio shows and I've done a lot of interviews and reporting outside of games. But to actually be on a national broadcast doing a hockey game and providing insights, not just about the interviews that I did that day, but, you know, bringing stats into the equation and some analysis was really, really cool for me and something that I wasn't sure I would ever get to do in that particular role. So it was really surreal for me to be like, standing up at the glass, looking up at the huge Jumbotron, and of all games to be my first, it's Bruins-Habs. And I know Montreal's really crap this year, but it's still, to me, a big deal that that's the matchup. And so, yeah, it was really cool. I had a great conversation with my sister yesterday, who grew up loving hockey and playing hockey with me as well. So we just both were like, this is crazy that I've come this far, I guess. Sometimes I think it's worthwhile to kind of look back and look at how far you've come from where you were.
First of all, boys rule, girls drool.
No way.
Second of all, 12-year-old you really wasn't a dreamer, eh? Like, what'd you think? You're going to be a mechanic? Like, you know, Jackie from the future comes back and she's like, Jackie, we're going to be a reporter. You're like, I don't believe it. Well, I was meant for the mechanic. Yeah, I thought I'd be under a car somewhere, you know, grinding away with a wrench. Like, what are you talking about? Of course. And oh, no, you should be proud. It is a very cool moment.
Why you gotta be so sour, JD? We're having a nice moment. Me and Ailish,
fan morning show.
Yeah, you weren't even a part of that moment. That was me and Ailish moment. No. You weren't invited in. But
yeah,
you know, I was gonna ask you guys your thoughts on this though, because I'm pretty open about, like, you know, what team I grew up rooting for and this and that and the other. And I'm like 5 minutes into a conversation with Bruce Cassidy yesterday, and I asked him about Taylor Hall and the power play and whatever. And he's talking about it, and he's like, you know, about all these different guys in that spot and blah, blah, blah. He goes, actually, you know, this play that we do, it worked against the Leafs. I know you don't want to hear that. And like basically called me out in the meeting in front of everybody. And I was like, I feel like that's like, am I in with Bruce Cassidy? Like, is that a badge of honor, or should I just like bow my head in shame? And he's just like, why is this girl here? She's a Leafs fan.
No,
you know,
I totally
the answer. Now you're bragging.
That's a big moment.
Guys, am I in with Bruce Cassidy? Yeah. Yes, obviously so. Like, that's the thing. If somebody makes fun of you, usually it means they like you. If it's not passive aggressive, right, where you go, oh, that's obviously too real and too mean. But that's a sign of endearment almost always. And so, yeah, that's a lighthearted shot. That's somebody who he's showing you a couple of things, and this is why this is such a brag. It's like, one, he knows who you are and, you know, what you like and what you do. Like, he's just like, I pay attention to you. So that's number one component of it. Two is that, yeah, he's trying to make things a little bit easier by making it relatable and making it easier. So, no, I think you're very in, and I think that works. And to be honest, like, I would say out of all of us, maybe Blake is he's a serious journalist. He's like, I don't have fandom. The rest of us, it's just kind of like, this is part of new sports media, is if you're not trying to be Elliot Friedman or Blake Murphy, then I just think it's better to be honest with your audience and admit your bias. I think you can have a bias, but also be honest and give a fair perspective. So I don't really have an issue with it. I think that your work is going to be fine regardless of who you're cheering for.
Yeah, and
yeah,
like my answer on that is like, I'm not, like, I don't think I'm quote-unquote, like, a fan. I do lean more toward the journalist side. But also, like, how I approach even that stuff is, like, okay, well, your audience is the fan. So leaning into that is, yeah, I don't think, ever going to be a bad thing. You know, it's not like I'm sitting here and be like, who would I rather win, the Raptors or my integrity as a journalist? I'll take my integrity as a journalist. Like, no, it's more fun for everyone if the teams that you're covering do well anyway. So I think you're golden, Jackie.
All right. Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence, and thanks for calling me out, JD. My humble brag.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You definitely humble bragged. It's okay. It's who you are. Just like I'm the person to call you up for it. Like, that's the balance here. That's why this. That's why this thing works. So last time I was texting with you before you came on, we were trying to figure out, like, hey, are there segments that we can do? Are there things that we can do when you come on that have some regularity? And one of the ideas that we pitched was, or I think you pitched it, was, hey, stories in America that do you care about in Canada? And I'm thinking I'd like to reverse that today. So Matthews returns. He goes back to his hometown, but he plays in Canada. And I'm not sure how much press the Leafs get south of the border unless it's the playoffs and we're starting to talk about how tortured they are. And there's no Olympics now. And then now you add on to the fact that Arizona's from a non – or sorry, Austin Matthews is from a non-hockey place like Arizona. I'm actually going to flip this on you and ask you, how is a Matthews home return game covered when it's against the worst team in hockey in a market that nobody cares about with a superstar who might be the best player from their country but doesn't play in it?
I would say that when the game's happening, like last night, the fact that he was in Arizona, obviously part of the narrative is going to be amplifying, you know, what he's done for hockey in Arizona and all the things that you would expect from that standpoint. But in terms of, like, the idea of Matthews going to Arizona and, like, joining the Coyotes, like, down the road when his contract is up isn't something that right now gets a lot of play. Like, the most play that I would say it gets is, like, behind the scenes when coworkers, like, try to get under my skin and be like, oh, Matthews is going to go to Arizona. And I'm like, have you seen the Coyotes? Like, I don't think that's a cool option for him, even though it is where he's from. So it doesn't get a ton of play, but I think that the reasons for that are layered. Like, number one, he's just not playing in the U.S., so we don't talk about Austin Matthews as much as people in Canada probably, or I know, talk about Austin Matthews, and that's just a sort of out-of-sight market-based thing. But I also just think that the state of the Coyotes has been in such disarray that I think when you really sit down and think about, like, would Austin Matthews leave the Leafs to go to Arizona, I just can't picture a scenario where that happens, because the organization is in disarray. The team is not good right now. Maybe that changes in a few years. And we don't even know if the team will be in Arizona in a few years. I think that speculation is valid. So I think those are the reasons that it doesn't get play. But I think if he played in an American market and the team where he was from was actually competitive and good, I think it would definitely be a way hotter topic.
So I wonder how this new topic that I'm going to introduce was perceived down in the States. So we had McDavid, we're going to play the audio in a second, talking about what it would be like, or what his opinion on Evander Kane potentially joining the team or signing with Edmonton. So we'll play that and then we'll get your perspective on how that was kind of received in the United States.
I'm not really here to discuss optic issues. You know, if fans don't like it or the media doesn't like it or whatever, I think, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm sure there's lots of things that go on the ice and whatnot that fans don't like. And you know, we don't necessarily have to discuss those up here with you guys. So, you know, the public opinion is something that obviously matters a lot, you know, but, you know, we're here to try to win games.
Okay, so that's McDavid kind of embracing the idea that Evander Kane could be a potential Oiler. Did that pick up as much steam in the States, and do you feel like him ending up in Edmonton is a potential?
Well, full disclosure, because I was doing the game yesterday, I wasn't as dialed in on the hockey media side of things in the United States, but the clip, I mean, obviously went viral on Twitter, and I think anytime that happens and you have the face of the game making controversial comments or answering a question in a way that I would say the majority of people felt was not a great look, it's gonna get attention. It's Connor McDavid that is saying this, and you know I saw the clip and I tried to find, you know, the full length of that press conference in context as I could. I mean, I just think it's not a good look. I think, you know, regardless of where you fall on the, you know, sports versus ethics and where that line is in terms of how much they cross over into each other, I just think as the face of the league and someone that people are going to look to for, you know, leadership or leading the way or someone, you know, having sort of a moral compass with things, I think that to sort of basically kind of go on the offensive with the media and the public perception, I think it's just the wrong way to go in every sense. Even if you do think that, and there are lots of people, I think, in hockey who believe that if the Oilers want to win, that, you know, look at how many teams have been rumored to be interested in Evander Kane. It's very clear that Connor McDavid is not alone in his thinking that they're trying to win hockey games and Evander Kane is a good player. We know that. There's a lot of people that agree with that sentiment. But I think even if you believe that, to come out and say, like, well, regardless of speculation or what's gone on, like, it is what it is and, like, public perception doesn't matter, I think that's where you lose people, because it does matter. It does matter because we've been talking a lot, especially in recent years, about ethics and morals and where do those things intersect with sports. And so, yeah, I just think it was the wrong way to go. And I don't know what you guys think about it, but that's kind of my viewpoint on it, is that to just kind of like shrug and brush it off, like, your opinion on Evander Kane's alleged transgressions doesn't matter. It's just like, well, I don't know. I think that's in poor taste.
You know what, though? So I think this is a multi-layered thing, and where it's like a bunch of different things can be true. Was it a bad look for McDavid? I think so. I don't think that he handled that the best. And if he would have a do-over, I'm guessing that, like, the antagonistic approach that he used, mm-hmm. of like, I don't care what anybody else thinks, is a bit of a tough one. But
yeah.
I thought yesterday was so overboard and just another situation where it's like, we got to go outside. Like, people got to go outside. Like, you got to open a bar back up, because people are so mad at McDavid. And I saw people taking just the deepest reaches when it came to shots at his personality and at, like, who he is as a human being, because he had a bad answer at a media conference about a guy who's not even on his team yet. Like, I don't like the position that McDavid was put in, if I'm being honest. If I'm putting blame on anybody yesterday, it's Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers for putting him here. If they're not openly canvassing for Evander Kane, if they're not just like, oh, we want Evander Kane so badly, we're going to have a media conference, we're going to call for it, then McDavid's not in this position where he has to answer these questions. Like, you're supposed to shelter your superstar player in better ways than this. And they left him exposed, and it just, to me, is more of an indictment about Edmonton than it is about hockey culture. Like, this is sports culture. Tom Brady, Tom freaking Brady, the GOAT, the guy that we're all celebrating so much year over year. Oh, Tom, terrific. Oh, he's the greatest athlete of all time. Oh, can you believe he's doing this again? He just brought in Antonio Brown. Like, he just did that. We just watched Antonio Brown run off the field. Antonio Brown's transgressions compared to Evander Kane, non-comparable. Like, truly. I guess comparable in one regard, but it's like one guy had a completely different track record, and when Antonio Brown ran off the football field, we all kind of looked at it and went, oh, that's clownish. Like, Connor McDavid getting the barbs that he has gotten today, I think have been mostly unfair. Like, and way, way, way over the top. And yet again, a reminder of everybody that's so mad on social media, like, please take a break, please step away, and please realize that people are more than just what they say for 5 seconds taken out of context in a clip that's built for social media, like, for social media, and that it's just sports. Like, this is just, this is too much. This went way too far.
I can see your point in terms of like him going out there in that press conference, and clearly I don't think was prepared properly for the questions that he was going to get about Evander Kane, because realistically, like, even if Connor McDavid wants Evander Kane to be there, and Evander Kane is a very good hockey player, like, it's not, I know McDavid has influence and whatever on what the Oilers are going to do, but realistically, like, he shouldn't be the one that has to answer for those decisions. But if he is going to go out there, I do think that he obviously could have been prepped in a better way to handle that type of question, and not, because I think what gets people upset is that it's brushing off of very serious allegations, right? Like, you don't want to see that, even if it is in sports. And I don't want to beat up on Connor McDavid. I feel awful for Connor McDavid. He's someone we've talked about this year on our show as, like, if this guy asks for a trade out of Edmonton, like, we all support him, right? Like, that's kind of, like, our narrative of, like, listen, like, if you want to get out, like, get out. Like, that would be just one of the most supported trade requests, I think, outside of, obviously, the market. That we would ever see, I think. Like, it would, because I do feel for Connor McDavid in that way, that, like, he's desperate to win. He's, like, wasting away in Edmonton his prime years. But I see what you're saying. Like, I hate when people get just, like, attacked like that, and his character was getting attacked based on maybe a moment where he didn't choose the right words. But I still think it's the shrugging and it's the brushing off of very serious allegations, right? And some of those allegations have not been proven to be true, to be fair to Evander Kane. You know, a lot of people bring up the gambling stuff that they did an investigation on that was proven to not be true. The vaccine card he was suspended for, so that's real. But I do think it's like, you need to acknowledge the fact that there are serious allegations. To brush them off like that is just, that's something that, like, despite what you're saying about the attack on his character and stuff, like, I just can't like support that type of a decision there from him. And it's an unfortunate look. And maybe the next time we hear from him, he'll clarify his thoughts. But I just think that's what got people, is just like shrugging off something that really is pretty serious.
Yeah. I think it's a multiple things can be true at once thing, but we live in a world that's very black and white, where it's like, no, you're either on this side or you're on that side. I'm on both those sides. I think that Connor McDavid should have handled that better. For those of you that are like, oh, he's just a hockey player, I'm like, yeah, kind of, except for he is the face of the game. And yeah, there wasn't really the need for him to be so adversarial and so dismissive, but also due process is a real thing. And with Evander Kane, yes, a lot of these things still are allegations, right? They are the perspective of other people. Like, he's not in jail, right? Like, if Evander Kane is in jail and they're like, Connor, we're going to break him out of jail and we're going to sign him to a contract. And he's like, yeah, I don't care what you think. We're like, okay. But also having him comment on things that he doesn't know about, and him basically saying, no comment, but I back my general manager. Like, that's ultimately what he was trying to say and communicate.
Yeah.
And that you can get that this guy is probably a little frustrated too, as someone who is more immersed in hockey than he is in other things. I also love that where people are like, you know, he's as a responsibility. I'm like, what do you want from this guy? You're saying you're the best hockey player on the planet. You're saying the Oilers need to win games, and his GM is openly campaigning for a player that is controversial. They've already got all this heat on the market about them not winning. They're doing something that's trying to help them win, and now he's like, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want me to say here? He's pissed. He's annoyed. He lives in Edmonton. It's winter. We're going through a pandemic, and he's like, my team sucks. What am I going to do here? And then there, hey, Connor, can you fix hockey culture on the fly here quickly? It's just outrageous. Some of the things that we hold the standards to people. So yeah, Connor McDavid, handle it better. But this being a black and white issue and having to pick a side, and people saying this is who Connor McDavid is, or Connor McDavid showed us who he is, or all this, I was like, that stuff makes me absolutely sick to my core.
I'll say this too. I find, and this is more about just the Evander Kane situation as a whole, not really so much about Connor McDavid. I feel like everyone's piling on Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers like they're the only team that is interested in Evander Kane.
Yeah,
but according to all the people that are insiders and that know this stuff, are saying that actually the majority of, like, if it's 20 teams, it's like, okay, so what? Like, all the teams that think they have a shot? So I don't know. I think it's, for whatever reason, Edmonton is Ken Holland and the Oilers organization are taking a lot of the criticism. And it's like, well, if that's where you stand with it, that, you know, Evander Kane doesn't deserve an eighth chance or whatever it is in the NHL, that's a valid opinion to have. You can have it. But, like, keep that energy for all the teams then. Because I do think a lot of people are just honing in on Edmonton and Edmonton alone, and they're not the only team that apparently is trying to sign the guy.
Okay, Jackie, it's weird for me to be the one in this spot, but I want to take it a little lighter here just before we let you go.
Get me out of this.
In addition to your NHL Network stuff, you do work with WWE as well. The Royal Rumble is in 2 weeks. It's the one event on the wrestling calendar that JD not only tolerates but enjoys. Do we have any – I'm sure we're going to do some sort of Royal Rumble pool on this show or – We'll draw numbers or something like that. Maybe we can even bring you on
now.
For it.
I don't want to hear the answer to this question because it's the only thing like time. I don't want to know who's going to win. And you guys are about to tell me who's going to win, right?
Who's an early exciting, who you're excited for, Jackie. Who's an early favorite here? JD has put his headset down. So the actual goal here was just to get JD to put his headset down. So now we
perfect.
Can just talk,
I feel
talk
so much better.
About JD. But no, and I know that Ailish, you too, you've gotten in on wrestling.
Yeah, I
a
need some
bit.
Help, Jackie. Get me in there. Get me someone that I should support and jump on board for here.
Well, here's the thing. Contrary to popular belief, like, I don't have insider intel or anything like that. But what I will say is for the Women's Royal Rumble, my heart pick, my hope, and this is a long shot, as I'm sure you know, Blake, is like Bailey being healthy enough to come out and surprise everyone and go into the Royal Rumble and win. I would love to see that. A more realistic pick for me maybe might be an Alexa Bliss. We saw her return on Raw this past week. She's in therapy right now, but if she can get out of therapy and stop smashing things, or maybe she should continue smashing things, but it doesn't really bother me. I'm a big Alexa Bliss fan. I think I would love to see her in the Royal Rumble. So those are my two female picks, my two women's Royal Rumble picks. So those are my big heart picks.
Nice.
But I want to be in your guys' pool if you have one.
Well, yeah, maybe we can get you on the Thursday or Friday before the Rumble or something, and we'll draw numbers or draw names or something like that. JD, you're safe to put your headset back on. We're not talking spoilers or anything like that. Jackie wants to come on whenever we do Royal Rumble picks or a Royal Rumble draw or whatever. That's all you missed.
Does JD know that Johnny Knoxville is in the Royal Rumble this year?
JD, do you know that? You've got your headset back on. I assume you're here. He's got it muted still. So he's no longer listening. I don't know. I don't think JD would be too excited about the celebrity involvements. JD wants to win. JD wants to take our money, come in and be a Royal Rumble sharp. So we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll have you back on for that. I mean, hopefully we have you on all the time. You're always great to bring on. Jackie Redman, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay,
we're proud of you.
Guys. Appreciate the time. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Jackie.
Jackie Redman, studio host at the NHL Network and NHL on TNT, wrestling insider, giving all the inside tips to Ailish and I.
Told us who was going to win.
We're just going to dust JD in the Royal Rumble picks.
No, but here's the thing. Okay, so...
I know, you just pick a number. You don't pick a name.
No, I pick numbers, but this is why I don't like knowing, because... I don't know anything about wrestling. Like, I know who the big names are, obviously, but I don't know anything about the stories of the kayfabe or whatever. Like, I don't know anything. And so the worst is when you're at the Royal Rumble party and everyone, like, all the wrestling geeks are like, and it's going to be between this guy and this guy. I'm like, well, you just ruined it for me, because now I know who's going to win because you guys are too good at predicting what's going to happen, what the outcome is. I can't remember a time where my wrestling nerd buddies – were wrong about who was one of the top two guys who was going to win the Royal Rumble. Like, everybody knows it, and it's kind of why if there is an upset or a shocking one, it's the best, where it throws them off. Like, I remember the first time I went to a Royal Rumble party, the first time I fell in love with this, was Roman Reigns won, and everyone was like, Roman Reigns is going to win. And I can't remember who my wrestler was, but he came down and it was a good one. And they were like, this is a good one. But they were like, but it's all about Roman Reigns. I was like, okay, well, this sucks now. Like, so I didn't get the Roman Reigns pick, and everyone's just hoping to get the pick. It's way better if you go into the Royal Rumble and you have no idea. You just pick the numbers out of the hat, and then you watch it with the idea of anybody can win, and it's down to your last few wrestlers. I love Royal Rumble betting. It's truly a phenomenal event. Like, it really is. And now there's two, because there's the Women's Royal Rumble and the Men's, and so you get the double dip in the gambling. It's so good. It's so good. Way to go, wrestling. Yeah. Way to figure out that it's like, should we have two Royal Rumbles, like a million years into this thing? It's like, yeah, do it.
Let's go with several. Let's have a bunch of them. Nothing more but Rumbles. Royals Rumble. So I'll tell you two things, JD. First, as I understand it, 2 weeks out, like, I have seen nothing that suggests we know who's gonna take it. Like, it seems pretty wide open.
Blake, you know.
This was gonna be my second point. I am very out of the WWE loop.
Blake knows,
of
right? Oh, he knows. You think he's out of? Okay, today on Liars Who Lie, you think Blake Murphy is out on WWE, Ailish?
He writes the script.
No kidding. Are you joking, Blake? Who are you trying to fool here? Oh, I'm so out on WWE. Like, okay, no, yeah, save it for the judge. No chance.
The loop. I don't know if you know this, but I do a 4-hour morning radio show. And
yeah,
I have to
it doesn't
watch
matter.
A bunch of sports at night.
I don't
Where
care.
Am I finding time for all of that? I keep up
all
with
day.
AEW.
Yeah, I was going to say, you tell us, Blake. You tell us, because I don't believe you for a second. By the way, breaking news before we go to the break, and maybe this is something we can bring up with Natalie Spooner, too, fan of the snacks as well. Jackie Redmond has just texted me, damn it, triple exclamation point. I meant to chirp Ailish for her take on Honey Dijon chips. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, we messaged about it.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that even other renowned chip expert, Jackie Redmond.
We have different taste buds.
Just saying that there's a lot of, you know, you got barbs coming at you from all angles. Like, your empire, your chip empire, your chip review empire is crumbling.
No.
Yeah, it's crumbling.
I'm not fazed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you don't sound phased at all. As you like, phased. You're in trouble. Like, it's in real trouble. You know, you thought you could just get by on reputation alone with some of your chip takes. It might be over. It might be over for you.
Whatever you think, JD. I will stand strong. I have another bag in here of fresh that I'm going to try tonight. A different flavor. It's like a southern barbecue. One of those Miss Vicky's Southern Barbecue, I think it is. So could be good.
That's number three in my Miss Vicky's power rankings.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I told you, the way that I do this, I should redo it, is have them all at once and be able to rank them. It's hard because, like, you're just remembering a chip you had 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't know. So just give me some time to redeem myself. Okay.
All right. We'll give you some time to redeem yourself. We'll give you a couple minutes to recollect here, because another guest coming up, it's a friend of yours, Natalie Spooner, of the Canadian Women's Olympic Hockey Team. We're going to do that, and we're going to... No games tonight. Ailish, I wonder, do we get a sneak peek of your aux cord for tomorrow on the way out the door later, or a little hint at what's coming? I don't know. We got nothing else to tee up other than the Canadian Women's Olympic Hockey Team. That's with Natalie Spooner. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Baby Friday. It's our last block of Baby Friday. It's been one hell of a show. And let's cap it off with Canada's very own Natalie Spooner, forward on the Canadian Women's Olympic Hockey Team, just named to the roster for Beijing. Good morning and congratulations, Spooner.
Good morning. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're good. We are a little bit embarrassed to have you on because of your just abysmal Family Feud appearance. What happened there? You guys got dummied.
<Yeah. laughs> Oh, my gosh. You know what? We didn't really get to play, but it was fun. Yeah. I think it must have been, like, their fast twitch muscles. Like, they're all sprinters, and they could just, like, hit that buzzer so quick.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
Excuse.
I've been hyping it up on the show for like 2 weeks. Like, guys, you got to watch this. And obviously, like, you know, going to school with Laura, I'm like, you know, you're the Ivy League anchor. She said zero words on the entire episode. Not even, she didn't even say hello. Nothing.
I texted her. That's so hard.
Yeah, I texted her. I said, what? She's like, I know. It was so much fun, though. But I was like, you guys got to redeem yourself.
Was
so
it?
An added momentum going into Beijing is that you are you're under the eight ball in terms of your Family Feud appearance. But in all seriousness, really, we're really proud. We're really excited about this team. And I guess my first question is, how's this team roster compared to this summer's World Championship? Obviously, you got 22 players from your gold medal this summer. What's so special about this group dynamic? I saw everyone sharing their posts over the last couple of days, and everybody kept saying this team is something special. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously through the pandemic, we spent the least amount of time together, but I think it actually brought us closer because we actually went out of our ways to connect, whether it was through Zoom or text. And then obviously coming into the World Championship, we just got along so well. And I think we had such a good mix of, you know, the young energy with the vets, and it just kind of seemed to just mesh and just to get along so well. And I mean, yeah, like you look at that and our team, and I think our saying all along has kind of been our way. We were always going to do it our way, no matter what that was. And this team has really just been able to focus on us and not about, you know, whether it's COVID or whether it's, you know, games against the U.S. or games against Finland. Like, we've just really been able to focus on what we need to do to be successful, and that's playing our way. And I think that our team has really kind of rallied around that, and it's brought us really close.
So you get that massive win at the World Championship, something that you guys have been chasing for quite a while. You have a really good showing against U.S. in the rivalry series. Now you have a little bit of a break until you play again. Do you feel like you guys have a good understanding of what it's going to look like when you match up against the United States in Beijing, and you feel confident about the little bit of prep that you've done over the last summer, I guess?
For sure. I mean, we know that every game we play against them is a close game, so we're going to have to bring, you know, our best. And I don't even know if we've seen our best yet in those games, those rivalry series against the U.S. So I think that's the exciting part. And we had a few overtime, you know, games against the U.S., but I think here we're just continuing to build and to practice on all those little things that we just need to, you know, fine-tune going into the Olympics here.
And so you've been on the national team for quite a while, and I know the narrative is always Canada versus the United States, but I want to know what other countries are growing the game and who you're excited to see at the Olympics. I mean, it's always a Canada-USA showdown, but I want to make sure that we're talking about other countries that are coming up in hockey and who we can be excited to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously Finland, I think, would be the next one, and they were beating us at the World Championships. We had to have a comeback. They beat us in, you know, two World Championships ago, you know, to go to the finals. And so I think, you know, they're obviously growing and they have so much skill. But, you know, another team that I'm really excited to watch is actually in the B pool, and that's the Czech Republic. I mean, you know, I think that they've all of a sudden kind of come out of nowhere, and they've got a great coach now, and I think they're just kind of figuring it out. So I think, you know, in the next 5 years, that will be a team to really watch and to just kind of see where they can take it.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I want to know when you're excited about a team is, like, who are you going to beat the brakes off the most? You know, how are you going to pad the stats? Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't care about Finland. I just care about you guys and what the aggregate is. It's like, are we going to win 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, 6-0? Like, that's what I want to know. So I'm going to throw something at you that's going to be startling and that's going to hurt, because it hurt me when I looked it up. So Sochi was 8 years ago, Nat, and that hurts. Like, that really hurts, because it feels like just yesterday, you know, I'm watching your family just pump the Canadian flag and celebrate you guys there and win that gold medal and getting all the stories of coming back. And you were the pup. You were just, you know, that was your first Olympics. And this, one of the stories of this team has been this youth movement, right? Bringing in a lot more young talent around the team. And now you're a veteran player. Like, this is now another rodeo for you. And I wonder how, listen, your game is your game, but I do wonder how it's sort of shifted for you in terms of the leadership component moving forward here.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that's, you know, 8 years ago, and now, you know, I'm old, I guess. But I think, you know, every time we get, you know, these young players in, I think it's like really refreshing. I think there's obviously something to be said about having experience and kind of knowing what to expect when we go to the Olympics. But there's also that innocence of not knowing and just kind of rolling with the punches. And for me, you know, that was Sochi. I had no clue what I was walking into, and I was a nervous wreck, but I just took it all in and ran with it. And so I think that it's really exciting for these young players and for us to, you know, to kind of go along the ride with them and see them experiencing all this for the first time. And obviously, I think women's hockey, the beauty of it is that it's such still a developing sport, and there's so many young girls that are getting so good so early now. So it's just going to keep, you know, the game is going to keep getting better because girls are starting younger. There's more girls getting into the sport. So that's why, you know, there is this youth movement and there's all these players that are so good. And I think we're going to keep seeing it. But, I mean, they have so much skill that they bring to our team. And I think that's exciting, too. Like, they challenge us and push us every day. And we challenge them and push them. And I think that's what's made our team so good.
And there are quite a few young pups on the roster this year. Basically, that whole decor is a bunch of new faces, and there's a couple up on the forward end. So maybe you can give us a couple names who we should keep a lookout on and who's been impressing you so far.
Oh, I mean, there's so many of them. But
all of them.
I get to play on a line with Sarah Fillier, and, I mean, she's just dynamic. She's, you know, a two-way center, but she can score. She can make plays. So I'm pretty lucky that, you know, I get to play with her. You know, we have Emma Malte on forward, who's an Ohio State Buckeye, so I got to give her a shout-out. She's just a ball of energy, just whips around everywhere all over the ice. So just kind of, you know, gets things done. And then on D, I mean, we have Claire Thompson, another young one who went to Princeton. So, I mean, then, I mean, some of our rookies, I guess, are really seasoned vets. You have, like, an Erin Ambrose on D, who's just such a playmaker and can see the ice so well. On forward, we have Jamie Lee Rattray, who's been around forever and really is a vet, but is also a rookie. So, I mean, it's just such a great mix, I think, of players really on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's been exciting for me, obviously, playing with some of these players and seeing them to get their opportunity, like a Ratty who fought through, you know, a little bit of adversity. Same with Ambrose, obviously, like not making it last time around. It's just really awesome to see that the fight that they have and the, you know, the passion for the game. And I just want to touch on the passion of the game that's happening with the PWHPA. And I know you're a member. And so obviously right now you're not a part of the PWHPA because you're centralized, you're going to the Olympics, but how great has it been to see the momentum that they're still building without the core Olympians there? And what are you most excited for when you come back?
Yeah. I mean, it's been amazing that, you know, I think the momentum just keeps building for us and, you know, it's hopefully leading to a professional league. And I got to watch them on TV play at the Air Canada or the Scotiabank Center. And I was like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, that's really cool. And, you know, I think that like just having games like that and being able to showcase our game on TV, I think it's just gonna, you know, bring us in the right direction. And people are, you know, tuning in, people are wanting to watch, people are engaged. I think that there's so many amazing ladies that are in, you know, the PWHPA that have these amazing stories. And the more we can tell those stories, the more people are going to, you know, latch onto our league and want to follow us and want to know more about us.
So I think I saw on your Instagram yesterday that you're at Wickenheiser's house.
Yeah, that's where I'm living for centralization.
Yeah. Okay. So,
not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Yeah, no big deal. So there's a couple questions we need to ask. One is like, does she have statues of herself in the house? Because that's what it's like, maybe. And two is, what's the snack situation? Because like, she's a doctor and a former athlete. I just figure like, you guys go in there and it's just nothing. It's just dust. There's no food. There's nothing good.
Okay, so she has no statues of herself. There's lots of pictures, but they're mostly of her son.
Yeah.
And, like, the food situation, there was some snacks left. There's a lot of, like, healthy, like...
Of course.
And stuff.
Boo!
But we didn't really touch those, so we just kind of brought our own food in.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. There's, like, no way. I was going to say, like, if you had to do a draft of worst places to end up for snacks, I feel like Haley Wickenheiser's house would be, like, the first overall pick. It's like, I don't want to be there for the snacks. Maybe something else, probably cool pictures, cool to be there. Snacks, no. And, Ailish was trying to get everybody to bet on you for Family Feud, so
the betting lines are over. You're gonna crush it.
Yeah, I know. She tried to put it in our betting segment. She was you guys, this Ivy League. This is, what are the odds? Are gonna be heavily favored. That was bad. Sorry that
I tried.
She gassed you up so hard.
Survey says raw.
Oh boy, we were a little nervous for it to come out because we're not even gonna really say much.
Yeah. I noticed when there was less promotion on the girls' side and I was the one hyping up the show, I'm like, that might not bode well. Like, I think if you knew that you crushed it and you won the fast money and you got the money for Grindstone Hockey, that you'd be promoting it a bit more. So I was a little skeptical, but that's all right. You guys will dominate when the real big stage comes and you're in front of the big bright lights. We're looking forward to it. JD, did you want to chirp her brother before we go or what?
No, just listen, her brothers, I'll just say this, is that, like, not surprising that two of them at least thought that they would have done much better on Family Feud. That was the only thing that I got from them, was like, hey,
they
you know what?
They were jealous that I went on without my family. Oh,
that's what I mean. They were really upset. They were like, listen, if it's going to be Team Spooner, it should be the family, not Team Spooner headlined and then other players. So, like, yeah, they're a little sour. They're a little sour, you know, trying to get into the limelight. But I was like, hey, guess what, boys? Should have been better at hockey. It weren't. So, too bad.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Spoons, and best of luck in the next little month before you guys head out, and we'll be keeping tabs. We're so excited. Go get that gold.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
I'll talk to you
soon.
See you,
Nat. Good luck.
Bye.
Whew. Fired up. I'm going to run through a brick wall. Let's go.
I'm so excited for this tournament. And there is a real, you know, we did watch the World Championships, but there's just something different about the Olympics, and hockey is always the premier event for me. And having this shifting team that does have so many notable vets like Nat, like Philippe Poulin, and then balancing it with some of those players that you've outlined, Ailish, that have been grinding to get on this program for quite some time, really talented players who are getting their shot, and then young players. Not that you're never hungry at the international level, especially for this, but yeah, I'm curious to see if there is just kind of a little bit of a different edge, a little bit of a different bite with a younger team, with a hungry team, with a group of like top end players that might not be back for another Olympics. I just think that from what I've seen on paper and what I've seen from the games that I've watched, if this kind of is one of the more unique blends that we've seen for this program in a while.
Yeah, so I think you touch on like the three different kind of narratives that are within it. There's the returning players that obviously lost gold, and that is going to sting for the last 3.5 years. They've been thinking about that. So there's the redemption aspect. There's a couple people that are going to be in their fourth straight Olympics. That is, you know, the idea that retirement could be around the corner. This might be their last opportunity. There's that narrative. Then there's the middle group of people that have played and they're trying to fight for a spot in their next Olympics. And there's that group of people that have worked their tails off to make their roster for the first time. They have something to prove. And then there's the young core of girls that are still in college. Like, you're literally in university. You're leaving. Okay, see you, Princeton. Going to take a little bit of time off to go to the Olympics. Like, you have so much excitement and energy, but you need to be able to be composed and to live in the moment as a 20-year-old. Like, there's just so much that is meshed in this team. And I think that you're right. It's kind of that perfect blend that everybody has something, not just a gold medal, but something to prove internally with themselves. And like, I think that that's why I'm so excited about this roster. And it's just such a great makeup. And I couldn't be more proud of like my teammates that are on the team and the people that made it. Let's go. I wish it was tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to come fast. Don't worry. It's going to be here very, very soon.
Good.
God, it too soon. Again, like, I can't believe Sochi was 8 years ago. I really can't.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
8 years ago with Sochi, that's just like, that's when we're talking about, remember all the dogs, the stray dogs that were running around Sochi, and everyone was like adopting them. Like, we can't leave the dogs here. I was like, what about the people who have to live in Sochi? You should be trying to get them out of there too. The poor Russian citizens that have to stay in Sochi. By the way, like, this is a weird way to wrap up the show, but you guys ever get like toothpaste on you, you know, where you get toothpaste on like your clothes or like your hands? Like, I feel like I'm really terrible at toothpaste. I think I brush my teeth in the dark or whatever. Toothpaste is like weirdly hard to get off, and I don't understand how it works with our teeth and our mouths. Because if you like ever get toothpaste on a shirt or something, it's like, oh, that's there for the rest of the day.
It's there,
like,
forever. I think you
can't wash it out. Yeah, how does that happen? I don't understand.
It gets like dried up and like works. And it's like it's crusty. Yeah. I think you need to like immediately soak it and scrub it off with like one of those scratchy pads or something. You're screwed, JD. Throw the shirt out.
It's not even the shirt. It's like I got it on my hand and I haven't been able to get it off my hand this entire show.
At least you're brushing your teeth.
when did I start brushing my teeth? This
no,
is
I
my
said,
first time.
At That's least why. You're brushing oh. your teeth. Like, you know, we're in lockdown. You're not seeing yeah. anyone. You're definitely, no. you could let your hygiene go. So I'm glad to hear it. But one
no,
thing on
listen,
the...
No, I'm a big sorry, toothbrush guy. I need to brush my teeth. I don't good. Know. You guys don't know this, but like I went to the dentist like after the pandemic. First, like after wave one. God, I don't know. How many pandemics have there been? Four? after one of the waves of the pandemic, after the first long one, I went back to my dentist. I had like 100 cavities. And so
oh, no.
now... Oh, yeah. Yeah, like to the point where I actually almost thought about getting a second opinion because I was like, this guy must be scamming me. There's a, you can't even get that many cavities. Do you even have that many teeth?
Every tooth.
You
know, yeah.
I was like, I'm not an alligator. Like, I don't know how this is possible. Yeah, it was rough.
Oh, God. I'm going to the dentist really Monday, actually, so
oh,
I'll
yeah,
make sure
I
triple brush. But when we're on
they
the
know,
topic
though.
Of...
They know.
My dentist
there's never
listens,
any doing
too.
It. I think
she's
mine
listening.
Does, too.
Yep. On the topic of Olympics, tonight at 5 o'clock, the U.S. men's Olympic ice hockey roster will be named, which will be okay. interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of kids in college. It'll be fun to kind of see, you know, who makes the cut, which names from the past are revitalized. But no word on when Canada's men's team will be announced. But I'm excited to see what the United States kind of pulls together without NHLers going. Kind of see a lot of young pucks, I think. A lot of young guys.
If we see some U.S. college players that are of pedigree, that will interest me. Mm-hmm. But the names from the past thing, it sounds great on paper, and I go, oh, that's awesome. And then it's the same experience we've had with these hardship exemptions in the NBA, mm-hmm. where you go, oh, amazing, it's going to be Joe Johnson. And then you're like, oh, right, Joe Johnson's out of the NBA for a reason. Lance Stephenson, though, mm-hmm. the only one that was non-conspiracy. So maybe who will be the Lance Stephenson of the Olympics, where we're talking about them and saying, hey, does Eric Fair deserve a shot? With a franchise.
It's our guy, friend of the show.
Yeah, that's right. Who deserves? That's why he gets the shout out. That's how he works. Media, you give, you let us wet the beak, we return the favor. So yeah, I'm not really overly concerned about who the U.S. sends. I just, like, to me, this is one of those tournaments where I would expect now Russia to field the best team because they're going to send all these KHL dudes again who have played together, right?
I heard there's a big COVID break in the KHL right now. They have to take some time
off. Are they Russia again?
I think it's Olympic athletes from Russia.
That's what I mean. Like they're still they still have to wear the scarlet letter jerseys.
Something like that.
Yeah. Guess what? Wear them forever, Russia. And you know what? Russia doesn't even need to wear those scarlet letter jerseys because it's like seeing the Russian uniform.
You know, it's them.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, that's the cheater team. You're the bad guys. You're the Dragos. Yes, it is what it is. You know who you are, Russia. Stay out of the Ukraine.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to watch for on the U.S. roster announcement is that Leafs prospect Matthew Nyes from Minnesota,
baby.
The NCAA is expected to be a part of that roster based on earlier reporting from our pal Frank Cervelli. So
nice.
At least there's a Leafs component. Who knows? Maybe is Malgin still
Malgin!
Around?
Dennis Malgin!
I forgot about that guy.
Leafs legend.
Is he in the KHL? Is that where
who
he
knows?
Is right now?
All I know is that Malgin in a fight with who did Savvy Mark Savard call Leaf for a day? The little guy who came from Winnipeg and played for the Leafs and the nerds.
Saborin?
No. Saborin's the opposite. He's a big fan. Oh, yeah. Patan. Oh, yeah. Leaf for a day. Patan. that's still one of my favorite jokes. It's the first time Mark Savard saw Patan play for the Leafs. He said, did he win a contest? Was it Leaf for a day?
Oh, that's good.
I was like, that's really tough. Especially when Savvy wasn't exactly the biggest guy either. But yes, Patan versus Malgin. Fight.
Gold medal match.
Yeah. Fight for our love, Malgin and Patan. -160 for Malgin is how I'm setting the line in that fight.
All right. I'll take it. So no sports for us, really. No Toronto. I mean, no Thursday night football.
No sports was breaking news by you.
No, everything's out.
No sports. It's all over again.
No Toronto teams in action, but you can follow our Wake and Rake if you want to be scrolling around the NBA and NHL tonight. I'm on the aux cord tomorrow, so... Yeah, baby, I'm back. It will not be depressing. It will be enlightening. It'll be exciting. It'll be good Friday vibes.
Yes, let's go. Friday, tomorrow. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. See you tomorrow.